Hello and welcome to Block Bites. Today, I've got a secret surprise guest today for our special edition shill episode. We're going to be shilling everything. We're going to be shilling all the bags, all the gems, all the coal, all the things you don't want and all the things you do want, baby. It's going to be great. We're going to be covering a couple of news topics and we're really just going to hang out and have a good time. So stick around, folks. You might just learn something. Let's get the show started.
They take your money, then they take you down with them. Let's do better together. ERN, extremely resilient, naturally.
Hello, folks. Welcome to Block Bites Daily, and say hello to my special guest, Spider-Man.
What's going on?
Back from saving the city. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. Good.
How is it out there? Does that suit keep you warm? It's kind of cold out.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and which helps out because it's spandex, and you don't want like a huge bulge to be out there when you're trying to fight crime,
right?
Saving kids from stuff. Yeah.
It's a big target, right? The villain could just kick you right in the nuts, dude. Easy.
Yeah, easily. So it's way better if it's cold. Way better if it's cold.
Because of the shrinkage. Brilliant. And all, but it probably gets your nipples hard, right? It's got to be uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no, that's actually super comfortable. I have this thing where my nipples, like, if I don't rub them, it's uh-huh. bad.
Oh, it hurts if you don't rub them.
Yeah, exactly. There's something wrong.
Okay. Yeah, this is Polygon ZK, man. Polygon ZK, man, he's swinging across the chains, and I don't know, what would Spider-Man do on the blockchain?
Yeah, swinging across the chains, webbing shit up, fighting scams, crime.
Oh, Kila, and it's Kila the whole time. Yeah. Yeah, man, we do need a superhero because that the exploiter from Kyberswap is a lot like a supervillain. You know, like the way he talks. Bro, you got to take care of that guy, bro.
It's impressive the way that he talks, man, and the demands that he made.
Yeah,
take over the entire protocol. But then that means like he would probably have to like fucking KYC and people.
Yeah,
know is I don't know.
It's very, very bold, right? Like, because he would have to step publicly, right? He'd have to be like, "Yeah, it was me that did it, fucker."
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think it has to be. When you're looking and reading his demands, it has to be like a disgruntled employee, I think. Mm-hmm. Like that.
Yeah, I guess that makes the most sense. I do like to think it was just some renegade Spurg, because from my understanding, I think what we discussed last week, it was a very obscure vulnerability, like a rounding error, like a very small rounding error. But I mean, I got to give it to him. I don't support hacks. I don't support hackers. I don't support thieves. But it was a very swag move to be like, I want it all. Like your Scarface or something, you know?
Yeah.
Most hackers just kind of slink away, you know?
Like, look, I would be like, you know, bravo, bro, if it wasn't Kyber. Like, Kyber, the team on Kyber is so fucking nice. They're like the sweetest people in the world. They're super helpful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's where my heart is a little bit torn. I love the Kyber folks and what they've got going on. And I mean, like they keep building and keep building. And so
yeah,
it was sad to see it happen to them. But yeah, I mean, ballsy move from the guy. Like,
yeah, I hope it can be resolved. I hope it can be resolved. As far as I know, there really hasn't been much movement on the story, other than his demands. That was it.
I'm sure there's stuff that's happening in the background.
Behind the scenes, yeah.
We're not
Interpol on it.
Yeah.
We're going to pull you soon, dude.
I mean, it's what, 40 something mil?
It's a pretty hefty chunk of change, man.
For you, it's nothing, but like for the common man like me and the people I save, it's...
It's a lot of money, yeah. No, it's enough to really mess up Kyber for sure. But
yeah.
Let's talk about something a little bit more positive here, man. I mean, look at this though. I mean, overall the market's doing pretty good as long as you're not exploited, right? Look at that. I'm praying for the day I see Retro on here, bro.
Retro's up pretty decent amount. It's just Like, we need to get a little bit more.
More time to accumulate, you know what I'm saying?
Accumulate. I mean, people are doing charts and everything along those lines. When it comes to like volume and fees, mm-hmm. Doing very, very well. But then the market cap is still tiny.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I do remember, was it a retro proposal? It was a proposal for a solidly model where there's not really a lot of TVL on a lot of them, but the volume is outrageous, like doing multiples of typical DEXs.
Yeah, likely could have been us, especially when especially the days where Matic is just going fucking wild. Like, mm-hmm. our volume is off the charts. We're generally one of the top ones when it comes to like TVL to volume ratio.
Yeah, I mean, I've been enjoying my VE retro, my rewards. I'll be going in there every week, getting my little rewards, dude. I kind of like it.
It's not bad.
Load it up some more. Yeah,
what's nice about it as well is, like, honestly, the majority of the rewards are coming from fees and then like internal bribes, like auto bribes, rather than like external bribes. So.
Oh, so it's all automatic.
That to me is a plus sign, because it just kind of shows that we're kind of more on the sustainable side than relying on bribes.
Yeah, so. You know, sustainability isn't super sexy in crypto, to be honest, because what people want is like a hugely unsustainable pump, but they'll learn soon. But speaking of
those unsustainable pumps, man, what is this bonk?
Yeah, I was actually looking into this because Bonk is like the meme coin for, I believe, Solana, right? And I mean, look at this. I was like very surprised to look at this. It's like only up, dude. are you in on any of these? Do you have any preference? Do you see anything on here that you like really vibe with, Keela, other than Bonk?
Okay, let's see. Is there like Rollbit in here? Is there like Winner in here? Let me see.
Mr. Got Plenty coming in hot. Sustainability is for the weak, and I want intense fireworks and soul crushing disappointment.
Oh, fucking man. That is the man. I implore you to hop over to like Gains or one of these perp dexes and just go fucking 150, you know, 150 leverage, you know. Couple minutes, open up a position, get fucking wrecked, or score.
Yeah, man.
You don't only have to get these type of yields on shit coins and meme coins. Mm-hmm. With the proper amount of leverage, you can fucking cry all day, or you can be happy just with ETC or ETH.
That's right. There's a lot more ways to bet than just bag holding, for damn sure. Leveraging on like GMX for a while, getting the 100x, and so it's like a fraction of a move could completely liquidate me. Nothing gets me fucking hotter, dude. Nothing gets me going more.
Bro, it's so fun. What I love to do, hypothetically, mm-hmm. is
hypothetically what I theory
is like throw just a couple hundred bucks, max leverage this shit, and then just monitor it, keep an eye out, and then close it real quick. When you're in the profit, just fucking close that shit real quick. And then do it again, play it out. What's nice about things like Rollbit, for example, as well, is you can go like 1000x leverage on something, which...
I'm scared of Rollbit. I've heard so many conspiratorial things about Rollbit, like keeping you from withdrawing. Have you used it a lot, Keela? Can you vouch? Not for like the token price or anything, but just the mechanics of how it works.
So... have I used it is a tricky thing to say yes to.
have you known anyone perhaps living in Cyprus or whatever who has used it?
I know people living in Cyprus that have used it.
Okay.
And they fucking loved the experience. Not me, but people in Cyprus. 100x is for the crazy and reckless. If I ever do something like that, I won't have plenty. Yes, that is very true. It is completely for the reckless. If you want to just fuck around with, you know, a little bit of, say, gambling money, that's what you do. You throw in a bunch of leverage. It's not an investment. Don't consider anything going 100x or any of these meme shit as an investment. It's a fucking speculation.
It's like roulette.
Yeah, it's roulette. Exactly. Actually, Speaking of something like roulette, which is super fun, mm-hmm. I don't know who's manning the whole like view here. You can go to something called like bear versus bull dot uh-huh. I think bear versus bull dot com or dot bet. Bear versus bull dot bet.
Okay, bro, okay.
Super freaking fun. Yeah, just skip this. Skip it.
Like, okay, let's see. So literally I'm just betting on up or down.
You're betting on up or down for 30 seconds. For 30 seconds.
So no like, more trades. Wait for the next round.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So like for 30 seconds, you look at the opening price of BTC. You bet is it gonna go up or down? Wow, this is
up who wins.
Wait, how can I
distributing payouts?
Yeah, you can mute it.
Place your trade.
Whatever. I'm just gonna close it for now.
it's super fun. Like, but that's the thing. A lot of these fun plays, you have to look at it like roulette. You have to look at it as just like a game, which oftentimes if you look at it as a game, it's okay. But yeah, don't put house money, don't put mortgage money, don't put shit on fucking wild plays.
Put your beer money on there, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Instead of taking your wife out on a date, just fucking play some of this shit.
Yeah, you know, tell her, you know, we could go on a date tonight, or you go on a vacation next month.
Yo,
1 in 100 chance.
Yo, Corville, he's a fucking romanticist right here.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's why I've got all these beautiful exes. are you guys focused on Reaper, on Granary, on Oath, on the Grain Token? Where's the Mason's focus at? Well, I think their focus is primarily on Oath at the moment. I don't know, because I think Grain is something else. But that is one I was also kind of pleased by. On Phantom, at least, Grain went up 10%, and I was like, nice. Very small, very conservative.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Oath team, I like the guys. They keep working no matter what. They're always fucking busy doing shit. And so I think when you have people like that, you're always gonna have at least this speculation of things doing well. Again, if you're looking for 100,000 X's, it may take a little bit more time because they're actually building real shit. It's not just all based off of speculation. And so that's what you need to realize is for all the audience members out there is if things are just based off of speculation, you got hella marketing dollars, things pop off. If you're based on fundamentals and you don't want to spend marketing dollars because you don't know if the ROI is going to be there or you'll grow too unsustainably, then likely you're not going to get the. Oh, am I boring you, Corful?
No, I got to get my zen out of my mouth. I'm going to get sick.
Zen?
Yeah, you ever seen these, dude? Look at this. This is the smoker. Stop smoking. Stop popping Zins. Start popping Zins. They're like little nicotine pouches.
Damn,
look, man, I'm not trying to put you on these. I don't want you to get addicted, Kilo. Ruin your beautiful smile. No, but that is a good point. We got a nice mix, you know, not really a nice mix. It's primarily speculators because it's a lot of money to be made. But yeah, good point, Kilo. Things that are slower to build, maybe a little bit more stable, but they'll take a lot longer to get. You know, 1,000x or whatever from your entry point.
You're not focused. If when you're building something, you're not focused on like how can we quickly get as many fuckers to buy the token as possible. You're focused on how do we create a real like real protocol, real project with real revenue and everything along those lines, and bring that value back. Oftentimes, when you 1,000x, 100x. Your model often won't become sustainable and you'll get these fucking huge, huge volatile spikes and valleys. And
you'll get something kind of like, you know, oh, I've removed it. Doge. Doge is a meme that people are fading at the moment, but that's got these peaks and valleys, right? You get something like this. Oh, I don't have it shared yet. Like this. All right, big spikes, long bleed. Big spike, long bleed.
Yeah.
I guess that's...
But what's super fun about those is you have these spikes and you have these bleeds. So you can write shit up, sell, write it down. You can, with perp exchanges and stuff like that, throw up shorts, all that kind of shit. There's money to be made. Doge is always a fan favorite.
What's interesting to me is you were mentioning, you know, because this is the real differentiator, I think, for a lot of these like really speculative assets. It's a no-brainer. It's all the marketing, right? Because fundamentally, the technicals are never really that crazy, that impressive, that innovative or anything. It's usually just a fork of something else. And then you market the hell out of it. And one of the things with Doge right now is they got a big marketing push. I think they're launching a satellite.
I like that comment.
Keela's trying to make his TPA have a heart attack. Well, I mean, yeah. It's Spider-Man, dude. You can trust him. Tell your CPA to chill out at Spider-Man, man.
Trust me, bro.
Yeah. But
does Spider-Man have to do
this? Grain is native on a bunch of chains, so it's different in price depending on the chain. So I was excited because I had some Phantom just sitting there, some Phantom grain, and went up 10%. I was like, nice. Because I've never looked at it.
Fucking hell. Anything on Phantom going up 10%, I'm super be happy. I'm still waiting for USDC on Phantom to go up 10%.
Yeah, I think it has a lot further to go than that. But yeah, I think Phantom has actually been catching some bids lately, their ecosystem. I believe Equalizer did pretty good this past week, right? Let's see. Yeah, Equalizer.
Let's see here. Let's open up the DeFi Llama. Again, shout out to DeFi Llama. If they're not a sponsor, they're one of the fucking best things to ever happen to crypto.
Bro, his spidey senses were tingling. Doesn't go so well with the CPA. Good point. But yeah, no, some Phantom stuff is really doing quite well recently. We're getting across the board pumps.
Oh, that's a massive pump.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, dude. So it seems like Sonic is really putting his work in. Spooky Swap came back online and soon CL Pools. So they're catching up, dude. They're catching up. I believe Spooky Swap is also launching on Mantle soon. So there's another diversification happening. They're calling you, dude.
Yeah,
they need your help, man. Dr. Electro, Dr. Octopus is trying to destroy the city.
Oh, but, no, there's just a fire up in the street, but...
Oh, that's fine. I can take care of that. We pay taxes.
What a fireman for. Exactly. All my crypto taxes go with firemen.
Exactly, dude. Make them earn their paycheck. Mr. Clean saying, spirit will rise from the ashes.
I guess maybe, like, what is your thoughts, Corvo, in terms of like the projects from Phantom, like from the last cycle?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where do you see that they'll make success? Is it staying on Phantom and trying to do something, mm-hmm. or expanding outside of the Phantom ecosystem and like the team launching something fresh and new on a different chain?
I think they got to hedge their bets. Me personally, I think you got to kind of go cross-chain at some point. I think being native entirely is really putting all your eggs in one basket. Especially, you know, Phantom's got great tech, but whether or not you're going to get the kind of... You're taking like a riskier bet because you're betting on just an alt doing better and then also that you are going to benefit as an established presence on that alt at this point. You know, well, what about you, Keel? What do you think? You kind of are on multiple chains, right? You're not all loaded up on one basket, are you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on a bunch of different chains. In terms of the Phantom thing, the tech is good and Sonic is super fast. But I think the thing is you have to go in today's world. You have to go beyond just being super fast, right? Because mm-hmm. What is the difference between half a second and 1 second? Mm-hmm. Not that much. I don't know. I did see that Phantom does have a like grant program mm-hmm. that they're pushing coming out, which the
fourth iteration or something like that.
Yeah, the fourth iteration of their grant program, which, I mean, luckily they got rid of that kind of intermediary. What was the fucking
Gitcoin grants?
Yeah. That program was, I like Gitcoin, but the way that they had set up the grants with Gitcoin, a little tragic.
Yeah, there was a lot of fishy behavior going on there, mm-hmm. from my understanding.
Yeah.
It also, you know, I get kind of what they were going for. Like, they wanted to do some vetting, but it seems like something you maybe just keep in house. I mean, it's like your money, right? Interview some people or whatever. Approach it in that way. But what do I know? I'm just a podcaster, right?
You are just a podcaster.
But, or more or less. But yeah, I think Aaron's Ghost is saying only bag holders of Phantom rotating profits from other ecosystems back into Phantom will pump those bags. Phantom feels dead. I don't know. I mean, yeah, it does kind of feel a little dead. You don't really see, at least on my timeline, I don't see anyone talking about it other than like the Uber shills, Uber Phantom shills. I never see someone being like, I just dove into Phantom this week and it looks great. It's always like Phantom to $5.
Yeah, which is why I was asking. You don't see new projects being built on mm-hmm. Phantom. At least I haven't really seen any new projects. It's projects that were there and had a lot of success in the Phantom heydays. Mm-hmm. Like, are they still going to be active? Because if they're not active, well, then they have to completely rebuild an entire builder ecosystem if DeFi mm-hmm. is what they're focusing on. Nice to see them take one step in a grant program, but the grant program also didn't seem like it was super grandiose. Mm-hmm. I think it's a couple hundred thousand in Phantom for maybe like four or five projects. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's maybe just the starting point for them. But yeah, I mean, hopefully I see some success, because I got a lot of friends that have built stuff on Phantom. So hopefully like the spooky people do well on mm-hmm. like Soul and other places and hedge their bets. But yeah,
Phantom. Yeah, for sure. I think you had a good point there when you're saying the speed is going to stop being that important. It reminds me, I think in any new industry, when there's like a new technology, there is that kind of push to optimize it as fast as possible. Imagine, I don't know, there's like a really old example. It's not a good one because it's not tech, but if you think like steel, right? When people were like manufacturing steel in America, like a big steel boom.
Yeah.
It's not very long that you can be like, we got the best steel around, because pretty soon everyone's going to have roughly the same quality. Everyone's Correct. Pretty much, and that's where we're at now. Pretty much every L2 old chain is going to have roughly the same amount of speed, finality, throughput for what they need it for. So what is going to be the differentiating factor? What's going to win these alt chain wars? You know, Keila, I'm kind of interested in what you think. Is it just business development?
I mean, business development is a huge, huge piece. I mean, you can see this even with traditional companies and say e-commerce businesses and everything along those lines. Is the quality of the product always the number one factor, or is it the marketing that they're able to do? Is it the partnerships that they're able to do? Which is why you see products like, say, Prime or Kylie Cosmetics do so mm-hmm. well. You have this huge network of marketing and like, or in this case, like BD. I don't think that Kylie's lipsticks are probably any better than L'Oreal uh-huh. or Maybelline or I hopefully have those fucking
any companies. Other product. It's just they've got Kylie Jenner's beautiful plump lips pushing them. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah.
No, that's a good point.
Oh yeah. He's going to be a huge factor. Mm-hmm. I am heavy on the kind of ZK, like ZK narrative. I think that is a differentiating factor.
What's got you so hot on that? What's got you so hot and bothered about ZKs, the ZK rollups?
Well, what gets me super hot and bothered about like just ZK tech in general is, I think if we're going to try and get into a world where, say, crypto and blockchain is more used, you know, when you're going to the grocery store, if you're going to buy some coffee and stuff along those lines, Yeah. Having everybody know your entire history and your wallet address and all that kind of stuff doesn't really make sense. If I go to Starbucks and I spend, you know, $5 on a coffee, and then now anybody who's monitoring that Starbucks's account can see I have $40 million from KyberSwap in my wallet. I'm just joking. Yeah. I'm not the guy. I swear.
We actually might want to know that, actually.
But you see what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you're putting yourself at risk if you have a huge bag of ETH and BTC or something like that, and you're out there paying with shit. So I think that just the ZK technology, number one, super bullish on that.
Yeah, that is pretty frightening to consider, you know, because like those card reading scams are pretty big still now, right? Where if you just like modify a card reader so you could just steal someone's debit or credit card information, right?
Yeah.
And if we do get kind of blockchain implementation on that, I don't think it necessarily solves that level of data theft, you know? And then if they get that, though, then they'll know everything you have.
Yeah.
Across all your wallets. Yeah, that's kind of risky, man.
Yeah, exactly. It puts you at risk for being kidnapped or whatever it may be. Or it can put you at risk of being mocked by people like, you've only got fucking $14.
Yeah. That's what I'm afraid of. You know, I'm afraid of people seeing that, you know, how much dragon chain I own.
For real.
But yeah, man. People want to know. Tell us a little bit more about Polygon ZK, EVM, because that's kind of where you're at, where you guys are building, right? I'm eager to know. What's up with Zero, dude? Because that's what's going on, what you guys are building over there. And
yeah,
I get to use my NFTs I bought.
Yeah. So that's been a big question for the entire community that we have. You know, when Zero, when ZKVM, we get that nonstop. But the hard truth of it is we're waiting for Chainlink to be integrated with ZKEVM. And so we're in all of the groups with Chainlink and Polygon team and everything along those lines. And I don't know how much I'm really able to say, but there was an issue that didn't Polygon was able to fix, and so now the fix seems to have been cleared by Chainlink, and now like they're working towards getting the full integration. I don't have an ETA on when that will actually happen, but it's looking like January is when it's going to happen. This is something that we've been waiting for months. Like we were told that the Chainlink integration was going to happen in September, then October, then November. And now the fix has actually been like confirmed by Chainlink. And so we should see something relatively soon within January. December is filled with a bunch of holidays. So, you know, I don't expect anything to happen now. But the reason why we waited is one, Polygon wants to do a strong push into ZKEVM once that is ready, once Chainlink is ready. Because now, once you have Chainlink, then you can have Aave, then you can have a bunch of lending protocols, and then you can have, you know, this robust ecosystem which they're willing to spend money on. If we launch before that, we're missing this hype. Like, we're here when we could be launching on this kind of like
yeah, you want to launch on the uptrend. I get you. When we're hitting peak euphoria and fervor.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not really on us. We would have loved to have launched months ago. Everything is ready. We're kind of twiddling our thumbs and helping Friendly Forks launch, and we're looking at the model and trying to see how we can improve things, which we have some improvements for Zero as well that are going to be pushed out. But yeah, that's the long and short of Zero on ZKEVM. ZKEVM, I know that they're again planning this big launch, big exciting push for January. Also, what's super cool, what I love about Polygon in general is they've been working with a bunch of other people, like for example OKX, to build out these CDKs is what Polygon calls them. They're Polygon chain development kits. They're working with other chains like Near to have a CDK, OKX to have a CDK, and a bunch of others. There's other L2s that they have conversations with, which I'm not allowed to, disclose. Could see some cool things happen there. And yeah, so I'm, from all the partnerships and everything like that, I'm bullish on Polygon. Will all of the DeFi activity go towards Polygon ZKEVM? I don't know. They're going to be spending a lot of money and time on it. But then also, if you have like this OKX chain, right, where OKX has a lot of liquidity and they're going to be putting a lot of money on it, it's still like a basically ZK supernet of Polygon. That can also be a huge chain in terms of liquidity there, builder activity, and all that kind of shit. So when it comes to Polygon, don't just think of Polygon POS and ZKVM as like their spheres. You're gonna have a bunch.
Yeah, it sounds like they're doing like the optimism route, the super chain, I guess all the LTs are kind of pursuing this path of like launching, I think they're calling them L3s, which is chains launched off of their chains or like clones of their chains that are highly interoperable. Right? Like I can effortlessly go from ZKEVM to, OKX, right?
Yeah. And also I see Philip has a little bit of a question here. Is like, is ZK tech superior to optimistic rollups? So I'm
very interested to hear your take on this.
I can go in for a long discussion on this, but it will probably get boring. I will leave you with just one fact. Okay. When it comes to for example, bridging funds over to the chain or out of the chain. So imagine you've got your funds on Ethereum and you want to go on to ZKEVM. Bridging will take 30 minutes, 15 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
On an optimistic rollup with a native bridge, you're looking at 7 days. And so there's a big difference between 15 minutes and 7 days when it comes to just like liquidity, right? Yeah. And so, yeah, there's a bunch of other things, but I think that at least gets people to understand like there is a difference and the difference can be quite substantial.
It is quite big. It is like wild. Arbitrum has a lot of success, right? But it is wild when you look to the Arbitrum bridge and it's like, it's going to take 7 days to bridge out of it. It's like, what is it? Like, this is like worse than a bank, man. Like, what do you mean 7 days?
Yeah, exactly. And then, so while I am talking about native bridges, but then also again, if you're talking about millions or say billions of dollars, if you're a big boy, big whale, and you've got, say $200 million that's in your coffers, are you going to be trusting that money in a third party bridge? I don't know. That's up to you to decide. But I know for a lot of people, a lot of whales, at least that I've talked to, they prefer native bridging rather than like third party bridges. So
bridges have also not had the best reputation. So it would make a lot of sense that you would prefer the native bridge. You don't want to get exploited, dude, especially if you're a big boy. People look at big boys and they're waiting to seize when they move funds, right?
Like, yeah,
bad actors do, at least North Korea. I think it's interesting. It's an interesting conversation, ZK tech versus optimistic rollups. I've done a little bit of research in this myself, Keela, and I have just been getting primarily that ZK tech is really better for security too. Like we were talking about, you can obscure the rest of your blockchain history essentially, right? Like, it's just ensuring that your transactions you're submitting are true,
and it's super efficient, right? Because you don't need to share all history. You just need to share what is relevant for that for that transaction. It's a lot more efficient in terms of like speed for bridging. It's much faster security wise. It's very secure. I'm bullish for it. I think if you even look at some of the chats or talks from, you know, Daddy Vitalik, he even says, I think, like, the end game for L2s is going to be, you know, ZK rollups.
Mm.
Yeah, that makes absolutely sense. Mr. God got it right. You know, bridging exploits killed so many fucking chains, which we were talking about one just a couple minutes ago, Phantom.
Yeah.
Phantom's not dead. I'm not gonna say it's dead, but it fucking killed a lot of the
ropes for sure.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, it was like Moonbeam or something like that also had an issue with the bridge, and Harmony. Love the Harmony guys. That they were throwing some of the best fucking parties. But yeah.
You know, it was interesting because I think I saw Harmony on Crypto Bubbles today, because, you know, they say they're dead, but I think they are continuing development. They haven't quite given up. You know, like, that's an interesting thing for us, because we're such a new industry and these bridges have done massive, massive destruction, these exploits. But is the project completely dead? Can they bounce back? That's high risk bet, maybe, but it's possible. Crazier things in life have happened.
Look, I think that when you have smart people and you have still some money left, you're never out of the fucking water. They'll have to figure out what their narrative is to kind of keep going. In terms of, for example, Harmony, even before the bridge happened, I like the team and everything like that, but I felt like the narrative of the chain was probably going in a direction that wasn't going to be super sustainable. It was very focused on like do-good projects, which I love do-good projects, but if you have an entire chain that is only focused on like do-good projects and they're not, you know, making any kind of money or anything along those lines or generating volume, and you're not going to have an ecosystem that actually can thrive. I feel like in order for even these do-good projects to do good, you have to have things that are happening in the background as well.
You got to have some kind of profit motive that's really pushing the money to public goods, right?
Yes.
Ooh, correct. Mr. God Plenty says Mikey is told him that there is no development on the chain. So that's some insider info for you there, Mikey, famous Blockbytes contributor and Harmony node operator.
let me short one real quick.
Yeah. Go ahead and open up a long short on that. A big fat short on it. But Papas was wondering, do you have your nipple tassels? I was wondering that myself. But you're wearing like a onesie, so I don't think it's possible. Yeah.
No, I mean, it's possible, but again, just like why I like to be out in the cold is, you know, just so delicate areas are not visible to all of my attackers. I don't wear the nipple tassels. But yes, I am the same guy.
Damn, Mr. Got Plenty, that's a very brutal visual description. If your boat sinks and you get out of the sinking boat and you're out in the middle of the ocean floating, even though your head is still above water, doesn't mean you're not gonna die. Good point. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm not buying Harmony. Mr. Got Plenty convinced me.
Yeah. I mean, fuck. If I was Harmony, I would just fucking try and get as many gaming projects over to Harmony. Spend as much money on GameFi. I feel like GameFi is gonna be fucking off the chain this next time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Are you a gamer, Keela? Do you play any of these GameFi games?
Bro, I am a little bit of a gamer.
Nice.
I wish I could use Robit, but I can't.
Okay. And what was that? Robit.
Robit. There's like Winner on Arbitrum, which is one that I dabble around with. The Bear versus Bull is fun, so I'll play those things. And then I've got this little bit of a personality where I like I like betting. I like betting, even in the real world.
You're a gambler, bro. You love it, dude. I get it.
Even in the real world, I was in Dubai not too long ago, and me and some friends were betting on whether this. Yeah, I'm not gonna say it. Betting on stuff that
you do prop bets. I love hanging out with the buddies that do prop bets. You know, you're out at the club betting on like is that chick gonna pass out? Like
exactly. Those
are gonna puke on the dance floor, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Those type of things nonstop. So
hell yeah. So you found your space, dude. That's why you're such a crypto native guy, dude. You fit right in.
Yeah. Which is also it's one of those things where I've got that type of personality that this is why I stayed away from drugs and alcohol, because I feel like if I start to dabble, I might go.
Might get too into it, dude. Stay away from blow. Stay away from stay away from the white stuff, dude. You don't want to get mixed up with that, because that'll take your gambling to the next level in a bad way.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like I can control it right now.
Hell yeah. Well, dude, I got a couple little segments here I want to do here. Well, I guess it isn't really quite a segment, but this is something I want to bring up. We were talking a little bit about this before the show, but I want to get your public opinion on this. Toon Plus, we talked a little bit about Phantom projects, new projects on Phantom. This is a new project on Phantom. It's Toon without the peg. And I think this is really new.
It looks like it's on Arbitrum.
Is it on Arbitrum?
I mean, like with the logo at the top of the banner.
Oh, yeah, there it is. That would make a lot more sense. Okay. So we're bringing Phantom Degeneracy to Arbitrum, which makes me excited. If you sit down on a train and you feel your pants are wet, you must stand up or keep sitting. Okay. Funny image. I don't really know what it's in reference to. But yeah, they're taking a lot of big pot shots at Harry Yeh here. And they consider their project FTX without SBF is Coinbase. Solidly without Andre is Velodrome. And Tomb without Harry is Tomb Plus. So how do you feel about this? 19 follow. Will you be participating?
You know what? I will follow it.
Yeah, you know, I might. I don't know. I can't do it on the BlockBytes official account. But I'm gonna come back on my personal follow it.
I will follow it. I think it's cool. I mean, one of the remember the last cycle of here. Yeah, look. I think there was a lot of issues with Tomb, but there were fun, really fun things about it, and they had really fun community and a really cool community, outside of like the benevolent dictator and all that kind of stuff. I'm excited to see kind of what they have. Do they have any more information on
what they're actually doing?
Yeah, what they're doing, because it's not going to have a peg. They mentioned game, so maybe it has a little bit of a game. It looks like it's also fairly new with just 19 followers. Yeah,
this doesn't look like this link. Okay, so they registered the domain, but there's nothing here.
So they're still relatively new.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's all we got so far on it. Exciting stuff.
Look, the thing is in bull markets, people want to have fun and people speculate and everything along those lines. It's a very, very, very fun time. You'll tell by in this next bull run, just go to fucking 11 in Miami and you'll see how much fun bull markets are. And people speculate on things. Tomb was a popular name last run. It was a lot of fun, good community, everything like that. If they can kind of re-engage that community and implement some nice things within it, yeah, I'd be super down to.
Yeah, it's got me excited, because as far as I know you're in a bull market when you get Tomb forks. That's when you really know it's really happened, is when people start forking Tomb. And if we're there already, hell, dude, that's better than any other economic indicator I can think of. Screw the Dixie. This is the Tomb Index that I care about, you know?
The Tomb Index.
Yeah, man. Wild stuff, dude. It really does feel quite euphoric, Keela. Do I have PTSD or something? Because I'm feeling a little hesitant and I'm not buying into the euphoria, or is it really happening, dude? Are we really starting to make it, you know? Because January is really sounding like the month where things turn around, at least for my bags. We got Polygon ZK EVM softly launching maybe in January. We got Bridges coming to Shimmer maybe in January. Beebus keeps telling me this thing about budget resets. I don't know what the hell he's talking about in January. Things are looking pretty good for 2024, right?
Yeah, okay. So again, I'm not an economist, but I think things are looking pretty good right now in terms of within the crypto space. It from the macro economy standpoint, I can't really, like, I'm not really going to comment on that, as I don't want anybody to take that as I know what I'm fucking talking about. Yeah. But I do think that we're seeing very good signs of a little bit more of a bullish market, at least in the crypto space. That said, at any point, you know, things can just, you know, go haywire and go down, which is why I'll always tell people, if you're happy with fucking the gains that you've made, take some fucking profit. Like, there's no shame in that. The smartest people, that's what they fucking do. The people that were smiling during the entire bear were the people who sold out of the bull, and took the profit and were able to play around with shit. So, look, long term, crypto is going to do well. BTC will go up. Ethereum will go up. You know, Matic and all that kind of stuff will also likely do well. Shimmer, you can talk a little bit more towards Shimmer and everything like that. But, you know, they can have positive outlook. Depends on what your time frame is, on how much you want to have and all that kind of shit. Never gonna time the market exact. If you wanted to time the market exact, you have to go fucking back a couple of years and buy. And so, if you're unsure, dollar cost average. If you're a long term fucker and say, hey, like within the next 2 years or whatever, as long as it goes up in general, I'm happy. Just fucking unload some of your stables into shit.
Hell yeah, man. That's what I've been really kind of saying recently a lot to people is, you know, you got to have like an exit plan. You got to have like a time horizon or a price point. Otherwise, you should just hold Bitcoin or whatever. If you're fucking around like these alts and stuff, the super huge, really quick multiples, you got to have like a plan for when you hit them, you know, because easy come, easy go, you know. It's a common cliche expression, but it's really, really real. I guess we could have talked a little bit about Jamie Dimon. I didn't pull anything up about this, but I feel like he says this all the time. You heard this, Keela. He's saying if he was the president, he would outlaw Bitcoin and Ethereum or whatever.
Of course.
Doesn't he have a huge bag?
If I was Jamie Dimon, I would fucking too, bro. If you control the entire like centralized financial system, you would want to fucking close down anything that wasn't within that space.
You're sidestepping his profit, right? Like, you're sidestepping where he makes money.
Yeah, exactly. Even if Jamie Dimon had fucking a couple hundreds of millions in BTC, it doesn't even compare to his stake in the entire world financial economy. So you're not going to want to lose control over that. So,
of course he's going to get up on stage and say we should all ban it. And like I said, I feel like he says this like clockwork, like maybe like once a quarter, he'll like go up there and say it's all a scam. It's all used for money laundering or whatever. I think I do have a thread here. It was a kind of an interesting thread because I like to bring this up every time it happens too, which is, like, all the financial crimes JP Morgan, well, like really every single bank is guilty of. You know, we all know that like Binance was hit with like a big fine, like a massive fine, billions of dollars. But that's like every day, dude, in like traditional banking. $13 billion settlement for misleading investors about toxic mortgage securities. $2 billion consent judgment for mortgage loan servicing.
Correct.
I mean, they hemorrhaged this money.
Correct. HSBC was fucking fined a couple billion for some shady shit that they were doing as well. That's the thing is like, yeah, they like to point the finger at these things when they happen outside of their realm, but when they do it themselves, they don't want to fucking talk about it. He says that crypto is only good for money laundering and hiding and drugs and trafficking and shit along those lines. But when you're looking around the world, if you're some dude in Argentina or in Egypt or Turkey and inflation is super high, no, you look at crypto as a way to be able to actually hold on to your money rather than having 100% inflation year over year and losing value. If you're in a place like, I don't know, Nigeria or Lebanon or whatever it may be, and you can't pull money out of a bank because the banks say, oh no, you actually have a limit for today. And your limit is $20, $50, and you need $100 to do something for your business. Yeah, crypto is a better alternative. And so, like, yeah, until all these centralized fuckers can stop fucking around with everybody else's money, there's going to need to be an alternative. And I don't think that it's unhealthy to have an alternative. You should have centralized system and also have the option to do shit like decentralized.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, it just makes sense. I think it ideally will evolve into like you're saying, we have like the crypto people that are very like evangelistic and they're like, we're going to supplant the entire system. I think it's a little pie in the sky, right? And also not even ideal because there are advantages. We see this in the crypto space, the advantages of centralization versus decentralization play out with various projects, right? You got to have a mix of both.
Even within the financial like system, centralized, you're not going to get, for example, credit or be able to take under collateralized loans and all that kind of shit in a true like decentralized economy, right? But you can do that in a centralized place. So if you wanted to buy a house, or if you wanted to, you know, get something on credit, or if you wanted the government and people to kind of grow, sometimes you need a little bit of debt, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. And I think there's the importance of the centralized system. I do feel like maybe we've relied a little bit too much on debt and
debt, people, yeah.
You know, people have kind of taken that a little too far, which you wouldn't have in a decentralized ecosystem. But yeah, I think option is the key. It doesn't have to be one or the other. It can be a nice marriage of the two.
Yeah, I think that's where we're heading to, though. You know, we're like, if you ever had a cat and you buy like another cat, like they try to fucking kill each other. Like when you introduce them, that's like kind of what we're dealing with here. You got an outsider being introduced to a system and they're trying to kill each other because it's fighting over territory and the like.
I've never had cats, but I've had two girlfriends at the same time. And yeah, that's the same.
Well, dude, if you can make those reach an equilibrium, you got to send me your notes, bro. Because anytime that's happened to me, I've almost died.
Bro, yeah, I'm still trying to learn a few things from Andrew Tate's videos, so I'll let you know once I crack the code.
Yeah, you're a follower of Top G. Dude, I thought you were Top G. I can't believe you're following another G, bro.
Well, I mean, game recognized game, bro.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, you know, I think Mr. Got Plenty actually says something that we could apply to that. Ladies, liquor, leverage, and gaming will always make it through bear markets. They are eternal. And that's true. And
that is 100, which is why I've been so bullish on gaming. Mm-hmm. Whether it's because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. People will always want to fucking play games, whether it's gambling or casino style games, or it's just like PlayStation and, you know, FIFA, all that kind of stuff. People fucking love that shit. And even the economies within games lend itself really well to the crypto space. So
I'm excited to see how people implement it some more. I got some thoughts on the gaming. We got to do a whole segment on it at some point because I can get philosophical about it. I'm a long-term gamer, bro. I've thought about this quite a bit. But a lot of the implementations I see now don't seem to be quite getting it, but I think they'll get it eventually. How to really capitalize on that Fortnite system, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it'll take some time. I mean, bro, I was chatting with some big ass players in this like studio game that were looking at creating like a crypto or a blockchain gaming studio. It is big names. So it'll eventually get there. Just take some time and money. From Philip, he says all these on-chain protocols are way overkill for finance. I barely find Aave and Uni useful. Maybe dive a little bit into that, Philip, because I mean, maybe for you, I don't know where you live, right? Mm-hmm. You maybe live in like United States or Europe or something along those lines, like Western Europe, where oftentimes, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe you don't need these protocols to do any of your like financial or to service your financial needs. But outside of US and Europe and all that kind of stuff, there's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of, you know, places where this stuff is the only way that you can really get shit through. So
that's a good point. Especially in America, right? Because I think like we're kind of like far away from a lot of like the varieties of ways you can live, right? Like there's a huge variety in terms of societal, cultural structure, right? And economy. Like Mexico is really different from America, but it's actually not that fucking different. It's not like comparing America to, say, Somalia, you know? But there are regions that have completely underdeveloped or almost absolutely no financial system whatsoever. And we kind of take it for granted, like what this enables us to do. And probably the single greatest innovation of really all this blockchain stuff is that you can interact with a sophisticated financial system with very little tension. You know, I don't need an intermediary. I don't need to trust the guy down the road to have established a bank and established all these partnerships. I can just plug online, baby. And that's going to be huge. It's going to be huge for the development of these regions too, especially if we develop more sophisticated online financial projects. You know, it's like kind of goofy as fuck to say. You see people like shitposting about this. Like I'm teaching farmers in Nairobi how to put like grain futures on chain, but like no shit, if they did that, that'd actually help them quite a bit. Like a lot.
For sure.
So we're kind of getting there. It's going to take a while though. It's going to take a long while. And it does pay to remember, maybe not for investor types, people chasing 10X. It does pay to remember though, that the world is a lot bigger than the United States and Western Europe and China and these developed economies.
Correct.
So there's a lot of play out there. But, you know, we're hitting up on the hour mark here. And I wanted to get a couple other things here. I saw, what was it here? I wanted to touch back on when we were talking about the corruption and some of the things. Wells Fargo pays $160 million a month in SEC fines. Yeah, like what I'm saying, it's like a line item for them. Like they budget this in. Like they know, like I'm going to have to pay like a fuckload of money in fines and fees because we're servicing cartels and we know we are.
Well, the thing is they're so fucking smart. They know if I can fucking skirt the law and make $20 billion and I pay a fine of $4 billion for breaking that law, I'm up $16 billion.
Yeah, it's just business.
It's business.
It's operational expense. Yeah, it's just part cost of doing business. But speaking of criminals that get away with it, well, not quite. They don't get away with it. It's kind of ironic because in crypto, they always say like, you know, we use it for like doing crime, but I would say it's kind of harder to do crime and get away with it in crypto because everything is so publicly ledgered. I mean, it's a little bit more complicated, but it's there. I just want to do a little perp walk us through some of our criminals of the last year. They've had some developments. So Do Kwon is going to get extradited from Montenegro to the United States, and they're going to hit him with a bunch of charges. They're hitting him with pretty much every type of fraud you can do: wire fraud, investment fraud, credit fraud. I thought this was kind of interesting. But then we also have CZ, who got hit with a fine. I think he got house arrest or something. But people are already talking about him pivoting into decentralized science, which I thought was kind of interesting. And to tie this all together, I kind of wanted to get your opinion on this. This guy's saying financial crimes deserve a life sentence. So we have two completely different end results here, I think. Do Kwon, I mean, I guess Do Kwon could get off. But SBF is getting, like, what, 50 years in prison? Do Kwon's probably going to get hit with something like that, split between South Korea and the United States. CZ's kind of getting off a little easy. But do you think we're punishing these people harshly enough, Keela? Should we, like, what do you think we should do?
I think for, like, for example, CZ, what is he being charged? What is he being charged with? Because from my understanding, and I can be completely wrong, I haven't read everything there is to read on those charges, but he wasn't fucking around with other people's money. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe Hamas or allegedly some other terrorist groups used Binance to move some funds. Okay, sure. I do know that Binance has been trying to KYC motherfuckers and, like, adding in a bunch of different things to where, like, oh, hold on. Adding a bunch of different things to make it, I guess, difficult for just randoms or terrorists to sign up to the product. But at the end of the day, like, what do you need to do? Do you need to call up every single user and, you know, and ask them questions and whatnot and take a blood sample? It's not possible. If you think about it, like, okay, if a pedophile or a rapist goes on Facebook and starts chatting with kids underage and go meets up, is Mark Zuckerberg at fault there? Are we going to charge Zuckerberg for, you know, secondary rape because, you know, it happened or it started on Facebook? Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, when it comes to CZ, at least from my understanding, it's a little bit different than SBF. SBF completely, you know, fucked a lot of people. One thing I will say is that a lot of these things, SBF, Alex from Celsius, CZ, all of these were, like, centralized companies. All of the money and everything like that was behind this veil of, you know, of centralization. So I do want to point that out, as if things were a little bit more transparent or, like, within the DeFi ecosystem, it would have been a lot more difficult to fuck with people the way that they fucked with people. With Do Kwon, look, it's tricky. A lot of people lost a fuck ton of money. The model was, I think, anybody who was in crypto for a while or knew anything about crypto should have been able to see it. Was not going to be able to sustain that type of yield and everything like that. But, I mean, he tried something new. It didn't really work out. I don't know what his intentions, like, what his intentions were, and, like, how malicious they were. But, yeah, a lot of people did lose a lot of money. But his, I see, is also a little bit different than, say, SBF or Alex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are definitely different types of financial crimes. But I just found it interesting that this article was calling for life sentences just almost generally for financial crimes.
Oh, yeah, no, that's fucking stupid.
You could make the case that all of them have damaged people's lives through either negligence or manipulation of money. I get your point on CZ. Like, it is kind of absurd to expect him to have, like, perfect KYC for all their millions of customers to know who is where. I mean, they can do an honest effort, and that's really the most you can ask. I think that's kind of what they were charging them with, saying that you didn't do a good enough job. But I mean, that's also, like, a whole other conversation on how unfair and kind of bullshit like prosecution can be in the United States. But Yeah, I think there is a case to be made. I think people are kind of getting sick of it. I've been saying that for a while.
What constitutes is all financial crimes, like is missing a tax payment or like missing something where you should have been paying taxes on. Is that a financial crime?
Fraud. Like, let's say like SBF, we could say like SBF and Doquan engage in some level of fraud, deceptive practices to get people to invest or buy in, or they were doing something with your money you didn't think they were doing, that they didn't tell you that they were going to do.
Yeah. 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 No, that I think is, that is fucked up. I would say in terms of life sentences, it would probably depend on the amount of money, to be honest. Like if you fraud somebody out of, you know, $75,
it sounds like a Black Mirror episode though, because we could get really technical with it. We could be like, how much are you projected to make over the course of your life, right? And if they defraud you out of that much, then we'll put you in prison for life. If you made more,
you're right. Percentage. You're right. No, it's maybe there does need to be a little bit more black and white. This is also one of the things that I praise about countries, for example, like the UAE. You go there and there's no crime because they're super fucking harsh.
Yeah, they'll cut your hand off, dude.
Criminals. I don't know if they'll cut your hand off for stealing, but yeah, it's super harsh, like super harsh crime or super harsh punishment for crime, which I think is needed to deter people. So, man, you know what? Maybe you convinced me. If you put fucking life sentences on people who commit fraud, you'll probably start seeing a lot less people like
committing fraud, right? Because it does seem to be the impression for a while. I mean, like even going back to like 2008, that like you can kind of get away with, at least in TradFi, it seems like they're being maybe a little bit harsher on us. But in TradFi, it seemed like you could get away with a lot and kind of be fine.
Yeah, and then I think the thing is we have to then keep people accountable of this shit. It's like, all right, it doesn't matter whether it's TradFi or DeFi. If you commit fraud, go to jail for life, and then you'll see half the fucking big bank CEOs hopefully going to jail for life because they're the most fraudiest fuckers out there.
That'd be ideal, dude. We put them in jail, have them breaking rocks for the rest of their lives. That'd be great.
Yeah.
But yeah,
but also not like the cushy jail. Like you need to put them in with like
dude. We got to put them with the real criminals. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
GTA style criminals. You know what
I mean? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, man. Well, that's pretty much all I got for us today to discuss. We hit the hour mark. You know, I feel like we got a pretty good conversation here, Keely. It was a pleasure having you on, man. It's always fun, dude. It was really good hearing a little bit about Zero, dude. I can't wait for it to launch, bro. I got my NFTs. I keep looking at them, opening up my wallet, just looking at them, licking my lips, thinking, I can't wait to put this on, man.
Yeah, no, they're coming. And our grant that we got from Polygon, it was at like 50 something cents. So we got a bunch of Matic at like 50 something cents. And Matic is at, I don't know, like 80 whatever cents now. So the dollar amount of grant that we have is appreciating. And so people will be getting more and more. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Things are looking better and better by the day. I'm telling you, folks, it's going to be a great Christmas and even better January. That's how it's shaping up to me. Not a promise, not investment advice, just how I'm feeling, you know? But yeah.
Keela, yeah, nobody not your feelings, bro.
Yeah, I gotta get them out somewhere, dude. I gotta express myself somewhere somehow. But yeah, exactly. Keela, thanks so much for coming on, man. We gotta have you on again soon, dude. Hope you had a good time, bro. Anything you want to tell the people before we sign off completely?
No, just again, a lot of the shit that I was saying, don't fucking put your money, hard-earned money that would go towards feeding your family or kids or mortgage towards it. I mean, oftentimes when I'm talking about the gaming and, you know, leveraging 100x, it's just for fun. You got to look at it as a game. So
yeah, your beer money, you know what I'm saying? Your beer money, your Fortnite skin money, that kind of shit, you know, your unnecessary needs. That's what you should be dumping it into.
Exactly. So have fun out there. be safe. Tag me in the fun shit that you do on Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, tag Kilo on your shit posts on Twitter. Leave me some comments. Let me know. Give me some feedback. Let me know what you think and what you want us to talk about on Twitter at Mason Corval or in the comments on the YouTube video. Thanks so much for listening, guys. Remember to like and subscribe. I think those are all the lines I got to say. And yeah, stay safe out there, folks. Adios.
Don't forget Shimmer.